From high above all other idiotic forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from kind of at the base of the Bighorns in slightly less beautiful Sheridan, Wyoming. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Cowboy State Politics. And we're actually broadcasting to you from the Ramble Room over in Sheridan, and I'm joined by my friend Ken Pendergraf of the Ramble Room, Tom Kelly, Ken's wife Diane, and April Hansen. You might remember April from an episode a long time ago where we were talking about masks, but everybody, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
First things first, some totally egregious self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you're dumber than a box of rocks, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself. Just like you should have been doing these last 40 years, but didn't. Do you like hot wings? Wingant Food Truck has the most amazing hot wings in the entire state of Wyoming. My personal favorite are the garlic parmesan wings, but you can get pretty much any flavor you want. The trick is knowing where to find them, and it just so happens on Cowboy State Politics, we have their schedule. On Tuesday, they'll be in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Wednesday, Shadron. Thursday, Alliance, Nebraska. And on Friday, back to Wyoming in Torrington. And later that afternoon, they'll be in Douglas, Wyoming. Wingant Food Truck has the most amazing hot wings, but the trick is knowing where to find them. You can always go to cowboystatepolitics.com under the Sponsors tab, and I'll post the schedule there. There's a number of legislative meetings that are coming up that everybody should be aware of. On Monday at Sheridan College in Sheridan, Wyoming, at 6 p.m. in the Whitney Building, the Corporations Committee will be having one of their redistricting work sessions. If it's at all possible for you to make this thing, you need to be there because it directly affects you. On Wednesday, October 6th in Douglas, Wyoming, the entire Corporations Committee will be meeting. This one's about the runoff bill. You absolutely need to be there. This is so important for the state of Wyoming. If we can get the runoff bill passed, we can undo much of the work these redcoats have been up to the past 10 years. Sunday, October 10th, Cowboy State Politics will be broadcasting live from Wyoming's territorial capital in Cheyenne, Wyoming, from the Rail Yard Cafe. This is going to be a fascinating roundtable discussion that you don't want to miss. You can find the link on cowboystatepolitics.com under the Live tab, or I'll post it all over Facebook, so you definitely don't want to miss that live broadcast. I mentioned the legislative committee hearings that are going to be taking place next week, and we're going to broadcast the pertinent parts of those, maybe not all of them in their entirety, because sometimes they get a little bit long, but make sure you keep listening to cowboystatepolitics.com. We'll give you all the information that you need concerning politics in the state of Wyoming.
One of the reasons we wanted to do this is that Ken has decided to kind of make a change in the Ramble Room. And so where I'd like to begin is, first, Ken, if you could just tell us about your show, and then tell us what changes you're going to make.
The Ramble Room is similar to your show in that we talk politics, but we are not quite as driven and agenda rigid.
Agenda driven? Me? No!
we kind of throw something out there. And the ultimate goal, because let me just put all the cards on the table. I'm a candidate for Wyoming House District 29. I was last time narrowly missed defeating a
three-term incumbent. Define narrowly.
A couple of hundred votes.
Oh.
That means you change 100 people's minds, and I'm in like...
I'll buy you dinner if it was exactly 130 votes, because that's what I always lose by.
Well, it's really close.
216,
oh, see, no dinner for you.
Anyway. All that said, this experience has put me in a position where I've been able to make friends with a number of state legislators, and I understand that they need an outlet to be able to talk at length without being pressured, trying to get a sound bite, to talk at length about what it is they're trying to accomplish, how they feel about things, to get into details. And so you have news shows And the absolute best one in the state is yours, David.
Oh, absolutely. See, flattery will get you everywhere with
yes.
me.
So, that said, there's also the time for, some of you might be old enough to remember, what was his name that did the firing line? No, you wouldn't
remember. It sounds like he's too old to remember that one.
Back in the William F. Buckley.
Oh, I was going to say, I remember that, but I can't think of his name.
We might have to edit this whole thing out.
What he would do is he'd bring these people on, and they would have just an at-length conversation and allow people to ramble, if you would. Well, we started doing that. We also wanted to educate people. We also wanted to bring in ideally, we wanted to inform and invigorate as many 20 to 40-year-old people to get them involved and interested in politics. So we've had a bent that way. And in the beginning, my daughter and her soon-to-be husband had joined us. And Sarah and Joseph, many of you who have listened to the Ramble Room will recognize them and know who they are. They'll still be back. It wasn't necessarily me that made the choice. They started the business a few months back. It got to be very, very time-consuming, as owning your own business will do. And they felt like if they couldn't do their absolute best here, that they were just going to be a guest when they could and go on. So we're taking that. In the meantime, Tom Kelly, who is seated here with us, he has had an interest in podcasting, has a number of things happened in his life, and there was just this, it was like
aligning of the stars.
Yeah, the aligning of the planets stars. Or something.
Just
so,
something falling right into my lap. Yeah, really shortly. Yeah. People have been pushing microphones in front of my face for a long time, and they want, you got to do your own podcast.
I want to know how long of a boom they used. I mean, if you didn't know, Ken is about 6'9 or 14 feet tall.
No, Tom.
Yeah. Ken.
I'm more like 5'10.
So Tom, why don't you tell us about your background?
I am a long-haired metalhead and Harley biker, so I have absolutely no qualifications. Well, actually, that's true, that I am a big metalhead, like you said, and I'm a martial artist. But politics, I am a professor of political science at American Military University. I'm actually the department chair. I've got a PhD in American government and urban politics, and I'm also going to be running for the local school board because I've got an
Thank
MA
God.
In education.
Yes.
Which district would that be?
Two.
All of them.
Oh,
we're just going to blanket them all.
The cadre of tyrants. Yeah. If you missed that episode, you need to go back and listen to it. It's really amazing to listen to the Sheridan County School District number 2. I mean, there really are a bunch of tyrants. And just to catch everybody up on what happened, it was the Sheridan County School District number 2 was considering a mask mandate. And so they had a public meeting, quote-unquote public meeting, and they let all these parents, like, pour out their hearts.
At the 11th hour.
Yeah, I mean, like, right, like, the day before they were going to do the mandate, they have this meeting. And, you know, I try to keep an open mind about just about everything, and, you know, I found all their arguments to be fairly persuasive. One of my favorite professors from Sheridan College, Sarah Ligocki, gave a really compelling speech.
That's my cousin.
To the school board. And after it was all done, they said, yep, we're doing the mandate anyway. And by the way, that policeman over there is going to clear the room. I mean, so a classic case of small town tyranny. I mean, they had no intention whatsoever of listening to any parents. It was all for show. So I commend you, Tom, for stepping up to the plate and running for the school board there. That's badly needed.
You're here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was brought up by members of the community. I have 5 kids in the school district, and I've got my qualifications as an educator, and I've had people just come up to me. I don't even know. They're like, Dr. Kelly, please, are you running for the school board? Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, why not? Let's do it. So how long have you lived in Wyoming?
Geez, almost 2 years.
2 whole years?
I am originally a refugee of the Chicago area, Illinois.
Oh, the People's Republic of
Chicago. People's Republic of Illinois, and I moved to the great state of Colorado in 2010. Make a long story short, I had my daughter had leukemia, my wife had breast cancer, and I was very, very involved in taking care of my family and my career, And when everything was good and everybody was in remission and everybody was healthy, I looked around and realized Colorado had become Illinois with mountains. So thus, I'm in Wyoming.
Excellent.
Let me just say this, too. When I first met Tom, he was running for city council, which he did right after he got here. And I met him. Yeah. I met him and said, you know, where are you from? He said, Illinois. He says, I've spent the last several years in Colorado. And I thought, oh, hell.
He's got a ponytail. His wife drives a purple van.
I didn't care about that. I just thought, here comes somebody else from these liberal areas trying to bring their brainwashed ideology here. They're fleeing what they created, and then they want to come here and run for city council and make us into what they just left. So I was rather skeptical.
Well,
I listened to Tom. And he has made a believer of me. He's the real deal. Welcome to Wyoming.
Thank you. Have you seen the old original Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Have I ever?
Oh, okay. So you know how that movie ends.
Absolutely.
When I first got to Sheridan coming here from Colorado, I sound a lot of people like that guy at the end. The pod people are coming. They're here. And people are like, you're nuts. A year later, they're like, oh, my God, you were right. We wish you would have gotten on the city council.
Exactly. Well, you know, interestingly enough, in Buffalo, there's been a lot of families move there from California. And, you know, you always hear that, you know, oh, God, the Californians are coming. But to tell you the truth, the vast majority of people I've met are fairly conservative. And, well, okay, let me back up, because if you listen to Cowboy State Politics, you know that I don't think that you can be kind of conservative. It's a lot like being pregnant. You know, either you are or you aren't. You can't be kind of pregnant. But, you know, that being said, I've met a lot of families that have moved to the Buffalo area that are conservative, and they're just trying to get the hell out of the socialist state that has... Well, what used to be a state, but getting out of California. So, and frankly, I don't buy the whole argument that if you haven't lived here for 27 generations, that you don't deserve to run for office. And the truth of the matter is, and you see it everywhere, especially with Harriet Hagerman, which we're going to talk about her in just a second.
Oh, goody!
But every article that is printed about her says that she's a fifth generation Wyomingite. Well, that doesn't tell you anything about the person running for office. What that tells you about is that her family lived here for a long time. So just because you're not from here and you haven't lived here for a long time, I don't think that necessarily disqualifies you from running for public office.
So are you kidding me? I came to Wyoming because this is where I fit in.
Exactly.
Yes. And there are a lot of people who are born and bred here over generations that I would just assume... Que sera, sera, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
Well, and there's a lot of redcoats that are on, you know, municipal boards, city council, county commissioners that have lived here for a really long time, and they're the worst socialists of the bunch. You know, a long time ago, I interviewed a guy named Mike Lehman. He's the legislative liaison for the Catholic Church down in Cheyenne, and he described Wyoming as the most Republican socialist state in America. and the reason he says that is you've got a lot of these Republicans that the only reason that they have an R beside their name is that's the only way that
they can win.
Elected.
Yep.
Exactly.
You remember the old, I guess it was the Wyoming Tourism Board had the deal that says Wyoming is what America was?
Yeah.
I think you could turn that around fairly and say Wyoming is what America will be. It is polarized.
Well, and I think fairly so. You know, I don't think that you get any good decisions that come out of consensus. You know, the classic example, and Tom, maybe you can speak to this being a professor, but the classic example is peer-reviewed papers, right? Papers come out and they say, this has been peer-reviewed. You know, masks work. Now, really what happens is somebody writes a paper and they pass it out around to all their buddies who already agree with them, and then they say, fantastic paper. Am I wrong, Tom?
Peer review has become the new censorship. You have generally left-wing professors who are at the helm of that, and if you don't meet their narrative, you are rejected. I know firsthand. People just say, well, you're just a terrible author. No, I'm not. Now, when you're talking about peer review and people getting that being a type of the new censorship, What really becomes irritating about that is how often you have these stories in the news. It came out of this journal. The peer-reviewed journal said it. I remember when The Lancet came out, when the virus first came out of Wuhan, and before we knew anything, they were writing a peer-reviewed article about how this definitely was a natural virus. I mean, if that didn't set off red flags for everybody in the world, that the scientists hadn't even looked at it yet, and there was already a scientific consensus that this was natural. Yeah. Just a major coincidence there was a viral lab working on corona bat viruses.
Well, and you bring up one of the biggest problems with coronavirus, because everybody says, well, it's a consensus that X, Y, or Z is true. Well, science doesn't work on consensus, you know, like opinions do.
Depends on who's paying for it.
Right. Well, and I think, and the reason I bring up these peer-reviewed papers is that in Wyoming we have, and maybe this is true throughout the United States, but we have a big echo chamber that is the Insular Wyoming Press. And we talk about this a lot on Cowboy State Politics, that there are really two statewide news sources. There's the Red Star, Casper Star Tribune, and then there's the Cowboy State Cowpie, I mean Cowboy State Daily. And both of them kind of parrot each other. And so you only get one message out of both of them. And right now, the biggest...
The list goes on. Don't leave out the Sheridan.
Oh, well, yeah, under duress. The smaller papers for sure. But one of the big stories that's out right now is about Harriet Hagerman being friends with Liz Cheney. And the truth is, in 2016, Harriet Hagerman was an advisor to Liz Cheney when she was running for Congress. So what I'd like to do first is just to kind of go around the table and get everybody's gut reaction to Harriet Hagerman running for the United States House of Representatives. Go for it, Ken.
The last election, a friend of mine came out to run for governor, and he was one of the first ones to announce. And because he was a friend of mine, I agreed to help him. And his campaign pretty quickly turned out to be not that serious. He's a good man. He's still a good friend of mine. But a lot of the friends and the people that I find as political confidants said, you're on the wrong track. We got to show you the real deal. We want to introduce you to Harriet. And they arranged for me to have dinner with her just one-on-one. And I'm grateful and appreciative that they did. And I had mixed emotions after that. I do believe that Harriet is the real deal. I believe that she is truly conservative. And she is far and away better than Liz Cheney ever dreamt of being.
Oh, I don't know. At least she's from Ken. Occupy Democrats has endorsed Liz Cheney. I mean, what do you say to that?
I don't need to say anything.
I'm not making this up.
I don't need to say anything. One of the reasons I don't need to say anything, because we were talking just a moment ago about peer reviews. You know that in my whole life, I have never been peer-reviewed.
And well, that's the reason not true. I review you all the time.
No, Ken. The reason is that I am peerless.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, thanks for that rim shot. I don't have my own button over here.
I bet you can reach it.
So what I think about Harriet, she's not Liz Cheney. That's about all I know right now. I know Liz.
That's enough.
Yeah, I know Liz Cheney is actively courting the Democratic vote and the independent vote to have them raid the primaries to make sure she wins with 30 to 35% against a split-up field of whomever. I know she's not representing the people of Wyoming. I know that the local press likes to go to like the 25% or so of the state that's Democratic and say and interview them, and they could say, oh, well, she's doing such a great job. And so all the people of Wyoming like her, except for these, you know, these people who still think Trump won the 2020 election. I'm hoping that Cheney loses, but I'm going to talk really briefly about the political reality of it. Former President Donald Trump has endorsed her, correct?
Correct.
That is correct.
That's it. I mean, that as far as the other people running, they should just drop out right now. When he endorsed Lummis, I mean, that was the end of the Senate right there. And so many people are going to coalesce behind her now. I mean, anyone else who's still in the race is doing nothing but endangering splitting the vote to make sure Liz Cheney gets back in, which is she's hoping for.
I cannot wait for you to chime in, Diane.
Okay, go ahead and chime in. I'm done.
We were just talking about this the other day about If President Trump endorses it, that's it.
See, I have a totally different view, but I want to hear Diane's thoughts on it first.
I'm not sure what you wanted me to say. I don't want to be told by President Trump who I have to vote for.
Yeah.
So that's my objection to that concept, but that doesn't mean it isn't reality.
We'll get back to this special weekend update from the Ramble Room in just a second, but first, a totally obscene profit timeout. Newsflash! Fall is here! That's right, my friends, there was ice on my windshield the other morning. And you know what that means. There was ice on all of those super expensive, fancy, shiny summertime toys. Shame on you. What would come in really handy right about now is a place to stash all of those toys that you love so much for the entire winter. Have I mentioned it's about 9 months long? An easy way to do that is to contact my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. You can give them a call at 307-674-2532. It doesn't really matter how big of a building you need. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. All you need to do is give them a call, tell them exactly what you need, and they'll take care of all of the details. They're the best at what they do, and they've been doing it longer than anybody else around. So give Morton Buildings a call at 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Just think about it. It'd be fantastic that if you pulled out that razor next spring and it actually started. The way you can make sure that happens, call Morton Buildings. 307-674-2532. Don't forget about the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Like it, share it, follow it, tell everybody you know about it. I'll post all of the shows there, as well as anything that I find during the course of the week that I think you might be interested in. So make sure that you follow the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Also, don't forget about the live broadcast on October 10th from Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's going to be a roundtable discussion about that giant Taxmageddon that's happening in Cheyenne right now. I'll give you a hint. It's pretty much the same thing that we beat in Johnson County. So you can find the link at cowboystatepolitics.com under the live tab, or I'll post it all over Facebook. And now, back to our special weekend update from the Ramble Room.
Politics in Wyoming work completely differently than they do, and maybe Tom and I can argue about this a little bit, but politics in Wyoming work entirely differently than other areas of the country for a couple of reasons. First of which is that our media is kind of small. Now, one of the reasons I started out the conversation talking about the Red Star and the Cow Pie is that those really are the only two statewide media sources. So while you have to, if you're going to run for office and be successful, you have to advertise in the Casper Star and with the Cow Pie, and then, of course, in the Cheyenne papers. But that's only a third of the vote in the state of Wyoming. And in Cheyenne, that's pretty liberal. It really is. So if you're going to be successful, a successful candidate in the state of Wyoming, really what you have to do is to go to every other little town and hit every lunch counter and sit down on a bar stool in every little town and do the small town grassroots politics. Because if you don't, the only vote you're going to get, and perhaps this would be enough to be successful, but the only vote you're going to get is from those two population centers.
Well, I'd like to just chime in that as a professor, what I'm really good at doing is separating my professional analysis from my personal opinions. And my knee-jerk reaction is, don't tell me who to vote for, Trump. Mm. Stick to your own state.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for her. It's the practicality of it. Is that, and I go back to Lummis. I mean, she just ran away with it after she got his endorsement. So there is a significant amount of the Wyoming population who will back, who've decided whoever, President Trump, because he won in 2020, there's a significant population who believes that, who will vote for whoever he endorses. So if Cheney's going to lose, it's really important that Hagman is actually a good candidate at that point. I need to learn more about her right now. I was just kind of sitting back to see who he actually did endorse before I looked at it, because she would be the front runner among the challengers at this point just because of that, even if there are some people who react negatively to it.
Prior to this, if you'd asked me who I was supporting, it would have been Chuck Gray. Chuck's a friend of mine. I really appreciate the fact that he is, as he claims, to be a fighter, and I like that. I can say Harriet is also a fighter, and she has a successful track record in fighting federalism, federal government overreach in the state of Wyoming, and I appreciate that. And at this point, with the field the way that it is, that's the way that I lean.
See, and I think that Harriet's got some real, I don't know if I would call them problems, but some real obstacles, in that she has represented a number of companies over that of ranchers and landowners, specifically when it comes to water rights. And so she does have some baggage to where she supported some corporate interests over and above the interests of, you know, what you might consider traditional, Wyoming families.
I was just going to say, if you're still going just around for what anybody knows about Harriet, nothing. just if you wanted to keep that.
I'll chime in.
I heard her speak once.
She has nice jewelry.
She does have interesting jewelry. Now, yeah. I've met Harriet a couple of times. And, you know, I frankly would not want to step out on a debate stage with her. I would love to see a debate between her and Liz Cheney, you know, the professional politician, versus, you know, the kind of knockdown, drag out type of lawyer that I think Harriet is. When you meet her in person, she's a pretty formidable personality. I mean, very straightforward, just a strong personality. So what do you think about the other candidates that are still in the race? Anybody?
I think two of them are liars.
Okay, which ones?
I think Robin, who said, I will get out. Absolutely, I will get out if Trump endorses someone else. And another one is Denton Knapp.
Well, both of them said at the forum that Cowboy State Politics helped put on, both of them said very vehemently, oh yeah, we'll get out. Yep. As soon as that Trump endorsement's here, we'll get out. But
now somehow they're wiser.
Oh yeah, well now we've had more time to think about it, and now we're not going to get out.
And Denton, if you hear this, I liked you.
He listens to Cowboy State Politics.
Yeah. You still owe me a beer, because I was able to sing the Marn Dog song word for word perfectly, and I will collect one day.
Well, and I don't, you know, neither of those candidates are getting any press whatsoever.
No, I mean, they're non-entities.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of, I like Joey Correnti's response when anybody asks, you know, who they are. His response is, who?
Yeah.
You know, because they're not doing anything.
Yeah. So there's the elephant in the room.
Okay, now, let me, one more question about candidates, and then I want to move on to another story. So Anthony Bouchard has really taken up the mantle of the Banner Health employees and the fight against the vaccine mandates. Mm-hmm. And if you've been living under a rock and not listening to Cowboy State Politics, first of all, why not? But second, Banner Health has told all of their employees that if they're not vaccinated by November 1st, then they can go find another job. So Anthony has really taken up the mantle of these employees, and he's been attending rallies across the state. And so let's just talk about that a little bit. Ken?
I first met Anthony Bouchard about 12 years ago. He and I were both speaking at a Tea Party rally here in Sheridan. And quite frankly, I like Anthony.
So do I.
We've kept up a bit of a conversation. I'm not saying I'm close friend or anything like that, but we've kept up a conversation over the years. But Anthony has a tendency, to just put it bluntly, either you're with me or you're against me. If you're not 100% with me, you're against me. And that's not how politics works. So I appreciate Anthony. I appreciate he has a tremendous voting record. I appreciate a lot of things that he does. I just would like to see him temper a little bit.
Fair enough.
I go on the whole idea of the healthcare systems with the vaccine mandates. As far as Kenneth Bouchard goes, there are other issues to come up with that, and it's a politically smart move considering his background, his stances, his ideology. This is right in line with where he would be. But the whole idea that all through 2020, before the vaccines came out, the people on the front lines who were repeatedly exposed to the virus and infected to it are the people who need any type of vaccine the absolute least. There have been healthcare systems and the executives at the top who have pointed and said, well, look how many frontline workers we've lost to this virus. Right. Because all of them were infected last year.
Right.
And at this point, the vaccine mandate, when it's difficult to find enough people, when there are intensive care units where they have enough beds for people, they don't have enough nurses to look after all the beds. When we see news stories that tell half-truths of hospitals being overwhelmed, it's not the facility, it's the personnel being overwhelmed. And now we're going to lay people off.
These people who have already spent the last year and a half fighting this without a virus.
Without a
vaccine.
Now
you're going to tell them.
And now you're going to fire them.
It's become a meme, from heroes to zeros. Last year we were having parades for how brave they were fighting this new virus, and they survived it, and now they're in there, and they know what to do with it. They fought it before. They know how to... The death rate from COVID has dropped dramatically because healthcare professionals like the nurses who are about to be laid off learned what to do and what not to do to save people when they went in the crisis. And now the most experienced people, who are probably the most immune to the virus, you're going to tell them, you're out of a job because you won't take this experimental vaccine, which we have no idea what you're going to do.
Which isn't a vaccine anyway.
Well, yeah, if you want to get into the whole idea, you know, of manipulation of the immune system, we'll just call it a vaccine for that right now. But still, we don't know the long-term effects. But I don't know. I might get it because Facebook keeps telling me it's safe and effective.
Well, yeah. Well, I think everybody should get it. Not.
I wanted to bring something up just real quick. Representative Clarence Stivar recently contacted several of us with a quotation from Article 10, Section 5 of the Wyoming Constitution. And forgive me, what was the name of the company that you just
Banner said? Health?
Yeah, Banner Health. Consider Banner Health and their position when listening to this article.
Is great. This is great.
No corporation organized under the laws of Wyoming Territory or any other jurisdiction than this state shall be permitted to transact business in this state until it shall have accepted the Constitution of this state and filed such acceptance in accordance with the laws thereof. And if you go back to Article 1, I think it's Section 38, it quite clearly states, I'll turn back there so I don't misquote it.
I mean, you don't have it memorized yet?
I do, but I don't want to misquote it in my excitement. Each competent adult shall have the right to make his or her... That was probably a little short-sighted.
Actually, that's... Just pause right there just for a second. Interesting little quirk about the statutes and the Constitution in the state of Wyoming is that anywhere in statute... It's actually... one of the statutes says... When it says him, it means everyone. So when you read that Article 1, Section 38, and it says his, that's what it means.
It's talking human.
Yep.
Each competent adult shall have the right to make his or her own health care decisions. The parent, guardian, or legal representative of any other natural person shall have the right to make health care decisions for that person. In other words, Banner Health has no right to tell me what I have to do, and if Banner Health can't agree with this article and section in the Wyoming Constitution, we need to boot them the hell out of the state.
I agree. Well, the problem, though, is that we haven't enforced that section of the Constitution with any other company.
Or very many other
sections. I was going to say, sarcasm alert, you know, how quaint. You believe rule of law still matters in the United States.
Well, I think you can go to several different passages in the Wyoming State Constitution, and the one that sticks out in my mind is Article 1, Section 7, that no absolute arbitrary power or absolute arbitrary power exists nowhere in a republic, not even in the largest majority. But the thing is that, you know, most of our legislators and certainly our governor, I question whether they even know or have even read what the Wyoming Constitution says.
If they had, wouldn't we have a militia?
We would.
Which would be paid for. That's another thing you bring up, and I think we should begin petitioning the governor to send me my Humvee and my M16 and my TA-50, because they're supposed to equip me.
I was going to say, I've been paying for my own firearms, and yeah. I shouldn't have to.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. Well, we're in the wrong country. We need to go to Afghanistan if you want that. So let's switch gears here a little bit and talk about another group of terrorists called the BLM. Not Black Lives Matter, but the Bureau of Land Management.
Under new management.
Yes. By an eco-terrorist.
Yes. And I have an article that was published in the Red Star, written by Tom Coughlin, and I quote, Stone Manning, that's the lady that was just confirmed to lead the Bureau of Land Management, also known as Group of Government Terrorists, Stone Manning, 56, most recently a senior advisor for the National Wildlife Federation, was tapped by President Joe Biden in April to lead an agency managing mining, grazing, recreation on roughly 250 million acres of public lands. She previously led the Montana Department of Environmental Quality under former Montana Governor Steve Bullock. Later serving as his chief of staff, she also served as state director for United States Senator John Tester of Montana Redcoat.
Yay.
Stone Manning's nomination and confirmation were applauded by conservation groups, who said her, quote, track record as a needed change of course following loosening environmental restrictions under former President Donald Trump. One problem with Ms. Stone Tester, she's an eco-terrorist. In 1993, Stone Manning, and I'm still quoting here, testified to a grand jury and later at a trial of two people convicted in a case of spiking trees. Yeah. Prosecutors granted her partial
immunity.
Hang on
just a second.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know what spiking trees is.
Tell us, Ken.
Some friends of mine wanted to cut down a cottonwood that had been in their place, and they got about 3 feet into it. It was a huge cottonwood. And they hit a fence post. As you might imagine, you run a chainsaw into a fence post, it can wreak havoc. What spiking trees is they go out there and they bury spikes in these trees that are supposed to be cut, trying to cause harm, danger, injury to anyone who might go ahead and cut down a tree.
Right, and
just
all
had
of
to throw that out.
All of this was done when she was part of this eco-terrorism group called Earth First.
Yes.
And now I'm quoting from a Washington Post article. The article's entitled, Did Biden's Pick for the Lead of the Bureau of Land Management Support Eco-Terrorism? Quote, several journalists have recently reported that in 1989, Tracy Stone Manning, President Biden's pick to lead the Bureau of Land Management, government terrorists, sent a letter to the Forest Service on behalf of radical environmentalist group Earth First, warning that trees that were part of a timber sale in Idaho had been spiked, a practice that involved driving, like Ken just said, long metal spikes into trees to damage loggers' saws and slow operations and increase costs. So my question, guys, is what is going to happen to Wyoming with that lady leading the BLM?
Crickets. I hope I don't find
out. I was going to say, tumbleweed blows across the room at that point.
Yeah.
What a horrific question.
I know.
So to think about that, it's, yeah, all of us, you can't see us, our eyes got all big and wide and everybody's jaws dropped.
Well, see, the thing is that environmental groups, we call them conservation groups, which really means radical environmentalists in the state of Wyoming, wreak havoc with oil and gas producers about sage grouse and wildlife restrictions and raptors. And now we have an administration that is straight up killing the extractive industries in the state.
Does anybody know what percentage of Wyoming is under BLM control?
The vast majority of it.
At least half the state.
It's like 60%.
That would be my guess, 60 or more. So if you're listening from somewhere that isn't familiar with how Wyoming is laid out, everywhere you go is BLM. And to put that land, with all its incredible, valuable resources, under the control of a wacko eco-terrorist is unconscionable.
And
an unelected one at that.
Yeah.
One of the reasons my eyes got big and my jaws dropped is because my family were loggers in Oregon. And that's, you know, when the spotted owl thing started is when they were doing that kind of thing. And so she's not only willing to kill oil and gas and stuff in Wyoming, she's willing to kill people to protect the environment.
Yeah. Who are just going doing their own job. After all, people are the enemies of the environment.
And who are managing the environment so that we don't have fires all summer long, so that we have to wear masks that don't keep out the smoke.
You know, when we're looking at something like this, the head of the BLM being an eco-terrorist, literally to the point where the Washington Post couldn't even say false. They even had to say, they had to give one of their but articles, which means it's true, but we don't like it. This is going to go so far under the radar.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've got a top general. Hey, don't worry, China. I'll call you up if we're going to attack. I'll let you know what's going on. And everybody's saying, hey, that's okay. This isn't even the tip of the iceberg. This is the stuff beneath the water right now that we're talking about, because the entire federal government is filled with people who are not working in the best interest of the United States.
And here's something that just became more and more evident to me over the last 5 or 6 years. It's not just the federal government. We here in Wyoming like to think that we are pretty conservative and that the legislature that we elected is relatively conservative. It is not.
It's not at all. Especially if you listen to this program, you already know that it's populated by redcoats.
You like to use the term redcoats, and I commend you for that. I have another term that I would use, but it's not appropriate.
Oh, okay.
They're evil, period.
I just look back to the disappointment when we had our governor issue a mask mandate. And not only did he issue a mask mandate, he intentionally waited until cases had peaked and began falling, issued a mask mandate, and then said wonderful media started to report, oh, look, after the mask mandate, cases dropped this much.
Mm-hmm.
How did that
happen? After they artificially inflated cases.
Yeah, oh, that's a whole different animal right there. But the fact that they purposely waited till cases were already falling, then asked for a mask mandate, then they said, well, it was obviously the mask. I mean, you could have mandated everybody wear purple shirts on their heads, and that would have been, well, purple shirts did it. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just another example of how, you know, we can have very little effect on what's happening on the national level, and we really need to focus on what's happening inside of Wyoming. Like, focus on the things that we can actually control. You know, we've got a legislature that's populated by people who are just Democrats who can't spell. And, you know, that we got to focus on those races first and, you know, work on changing the laws within the state, because, you know, obviously we're not going to affect the Bureau of Land Management. We're not going to affect the Interior Department or the people that are running the military or any of those things. So really, we just need to focus on Wyoming and work on those things that we can control.
Which is exactly, I began this by saying that I'm a candidate for House District 29.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
Thank you. The reason that I am a candidate for House District 29 is I see our Bill of Rights under assault from every possible angle, from Cheyenne, from even locally, all the way to Washington, and I hear almost no pushback. There is some, the more that I've dug into it, and I'm beginning to find those people that are pushing back, and I want to give them more of a voice. That's why the Ramble Room exists. I encourage you, if you like cowboy state politics, you're going to love the Ramble Room as well. You need to broaden your horizons.
Okay. Hey now. Just kidding.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Thank you for this platform, by the way. I never take that lightly, because I know what it takes to build this. But the point that I want to get is we need people who are going to say enough is enough and put their foot down and say stop.
Okay.
And that's why I'm running.
All right. So give me the top three things you want to work on. We'll give you the candidate on cowboy state politics treatment here.
Oh, that'll take some time.
Top three, real quick. Boom,
top,
boom, boom.
Top three things. Freedom of speech.
Okay. How?
We are told what we may and may not say. We are curtailed. I was asked to be on Sheridan Media. Not a friendly place.
No. Well, actually, they've been pretty good to cowboy state politics, but...
Well, good for them.
Okay, number two.
Number two, Second Amendment. Second Amendment is under attack from every angle, everywhere.
Okay, so what you're saying is that you would definitely support the Second Amendment Preservation Act.
Absolutely. And even if it wasn't perfect, I'll take anything I can get, and then I'll go from there, and I'll push, and I'll push, and I'll push, and I'll push, and I will introduce anything. The other thing is basically just generic. Anywhere that freedom is curtailed, I want to stand up and say that's not right. And it includes encroachment on freedom primarily from the left, but also at times from the right, where these people just think we want to have the power, we want to have the authority. And what I want to say is Wyoming's government is too damn big. Let's make it smaller.
You were reading my mind.
Let's go back to the Constitution. If it isn't in the Constitution, and the Constitution doesn't say this is what the government must do or shall do, then we don't do it. Get the hell out of our life.
Excellent. Well, I think that's a great place to end it. I'd like to thank everybody for sitting down and coming on Cowboy State Politics. Ken, Tom, Diane, April, even though you didn't say anything.
The silent mouse.
You should have seen the expressions, though.
Oh, I bet they were perfect.
Yeah, you definitely would have been part. If this was video, we could just cut to you every time something was said for the reactions.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And that, with that, from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, we're in Sheridan, Wyoming. I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.